Grace, mercy, and peace be to each one of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the epistle for this day from 1 Timothy chapter 2, and especially these words. God our Savior desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. So far the reading of the text. Dearly beloved in Christ, the only Savior of the world. We often say, or should I say, we often complain that we live in a different world from the one we grew up in. I don't think that anyone would dispute that things certainly are different today than they were years ago. The question is, if life was better then or now? There's probably no answer that will satisfy everyone. But one of the things that has changed greatly is that an increasing number of Americans no longer identify as Christians. According to a survey in 1992, 90% of Americans identified as Christians. By 2002, the percentage had dropped to 78%. In 2022, the percentage was down to 63%. From 90 to 63% in just 30 years. Meanwhile, the percentage of religiously unaffiliated, the so-called nones, N-O-N-E-S, has risen to approximately 30%. Now, that is certainly alarming and troubling. And if that trend continues, it bodes ill for the future of the church. And yet, the truth still stands that God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Yes, God desires that all people to be saved. But the problem is, and increasingly so, people don't even think that they need to be saved, let alone care that God has provided the way for that to happen. They don't think they need saving. They don't think they need to be saved from their sins, because it seems that nothing is sin anymore. What used to be universally agreed upon as sin no longer is. All forms of sexual immorality are approved. Premarital sex, cohabitation before marriage, extramarital sex, adultery. Everyone does what everyone wants to do. Unscriptural divorce. Divorce for any cause, not just for the legitimate reasons of adultery or desertion, now has become no-fault divorce, as though such a thing were possible. Homosexual behavior has gone from being shameful perversion, which it is, to prideful celebration, a view reinforced by media, education, corporations, and government. Add to that the delusion that one can change one's sex to match one's perceived gender, which likewise is promoted and celebrated. No, Americans don't think they need saving from their sins. Likewise, increasingly, they don't think they need saving from death. The reality of death has been softened in our culture. We detach and distance ourselves from it. Death happens in nursing homes and hospital rooms. We don't generally see it happening. And funerals are often no longer funerals with a focus on Christ and the resurrection, but celebrations of life with a focus on the person. We don't like to think about what happens to a person after they die. Most think that everyone just goes to heaven because he's a good person. Or God must have needed another angel. So if people don't think they need saving from their sins, and they don't think they need saving from death, then they're certainly not going to think that they need a Savior at all. Thus, the decline in self-identifying Christians, because Christianity is all about a Savior from sin and death. God, our Savior, desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is most certainly true. We do need saving from sin and from death. And God does desire to save us. He really does. This is what the Bible teaches from beginning to end. For example, in Ezekiel chapter 18, the Lord says, "Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, and not rather that he should turn from his way and live?" Or later in chapter 33, "As I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." St. Peter writes, "The Lord is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." And we hear it again today. God, our Savior, desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, God does not want to condemn you for your sins, however bad they've been. God does not want to cast you into eternal death and hell. No, God wants you to recognize your sins and repent of them. God wants you to know the truth, how things really are, not what the world, the devil, and your own sinful flesh will tell you. God's fervent desire is to save you, to deliver you from death and hell, so that you will not perish eternally. God wants to bring you into his kingdom of light and life, new and eternal life, walking in the light of the truth. And God not only desires that, but he has also provided a way for that to happen. You know the verse well. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And the verse which immediately follows, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." God does not want you to perish, but rather to have eternal life. That's why he sent his Son into the world, to accomplish just that. Our text puts it like this. God, our Savior, desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, And there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. It is in and through Christ Jesus that God has provided a way for us to be saved. It is through Christ Jesus, who He is and what He has done for us. And who is He? He's the eternal Son of God, who, as we confess in the Nicene Creed, for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was made man. The man, Christ Jesus, God in the flesh. He came to deliver us sinners from sin and from death. To do that, He had to become man Himself so that there would be one man who would keep God's law perfectly and attain righteousness. And because as true man, He is at the same time also true God, His righteousness has infinite value. As your representative, His righteousness is credited to your account. In Christ, through faith in Him, you, a sinner, are counted as righteous before God. What an undeserved blessing. There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Notice that there is one mediator, not many. The only one who can save you is Jesus Christ. Muhammad, with his made-up Allah, cannot save you. No, only Jesus can. Buddha cannot save you. Your own spirituality and godliness cannot save you. Only Jesus can. For Jesus Himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. St. Peter says, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So there are not many roads to heaven. There are not many ways to get right or to be right with God. There is just one. The God-man, Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the one whom God has provided the Savior of all men everywhere. And He is the only one we need. There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus is our mediator. He is the man in the middle. He bridges the gap between God and man. We were alienated, separated from God by our sins and rebellion. But Jesus brings us together. God reconciles us back to Himself in the person of Christ. Jesus bridges the gap between heaven and earth, and He does this precisely as He is hanging on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth. Yes, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all. Jesus is our ransom. He paid the price that sets us free. Jesus Christ is our ransom, our Redeemer. As we learned in the Catechism, He has redeemed me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. Not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious blood, and with His innocent suffering and death. And to show that He has won that victory over sin and death, this same Jesus Christ rose from the dead and lives forever. What's more, He shares His everlasting life with you who are baptized into union with Him. The Holy Spirit gives you faith to believe in Christ, and He keeps you in that faith through the gospel means of word and sacrament. This is why the church's ministry is so vital and so needed. For this is how God gets His gifts to you, and indeed to all people everywhere. Jesus has promised, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." God, our Savior, is still doing His thing through His church. He is still saving people all around the world. And while the church may be declining here in America, as more and more people think they don't need a Savior, and the same thing is also happening in Western Europe, in other parts of the globe, the gospel is spreading and being received, and more people are coming to faith and being saved for all eternity. And so even here, among your own family and friends, God has lots of people He wants saved. We can't predict which ones will believe and be saved and which ones will refuse and be lost. So we just go ahead and keep on proclaiming the good news through our church, through our own personal witness. And we pray that God would bless the result. And He will, to the glory of His holy name. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.